I wanted to send a very strong message to President Obama, and what I was trying to say was to for Mr. Obama to release all LGBTQ detainees in detention centers, in addition to stop the abuse and the torture trans women are facing in detention. And basically, the message at the end was to stop all deportations.
And Jenna said, could you explain how you got into the White House?
I did get an invite from another Angela People, who is a friend of mine who works for Get Equal. She had an extra ticket, and she has seen my activisms that I have done in the last 6 months. So she gathered my information, submitted it to the White House, and I got clearance to be a participant in the speech.
So as you were escorted out by the security, you were taking a great risk, Genesette. You're undocumented. You're a trans activist from Mexico. What did they say to you? And you were you concerned that you yourself would be in jeopardy?
That is correct. I knew that was a big risk to take. But to me, I've always been a risk taker, and the message and giving the voice to my community that don't have that voice, what's more important, you know, facing any consequences. As I was being escorted out, the Secret Service and the security were just very silent. They weren't questioning me or giving me any specific orders. I just continue to path out of the White House. Once I was out there, they kind of held me for 20 minutes or so. They wanted to double check my identity and basically.
Well, Genesette, we have to leave it there, but I want to thank you very much for being with us. Again, Genesette Gutierrez, undocumented trans activist from Mexico with the founding member of the group Familia TQLM. This is Democracy Now! Tomorrow we'll be in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Special happy birthday to Malik Nickens and Karen Ranucci.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be the sponsor of the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 2nd through the 5th at Waterfront Park in Portland. The Blues Festival includes cruises like the Blue Bayou Cruise, the Rock the Boat Dance Cruise, Drifting Blues Cruise, and the Sail On Sister Cruise, as well as after-hour performances featuring Galactic, Charmaine Neville, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and the Paladins. Again, that's the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, Thursday, July 2nd through Sunday, July 5th at the Waterfront Park in Portland. For more information, go to kboo.fm/waterfrontbluesfestival2015.
It's that time again, time for another three-day community festival at Good in the Hood 2015, which is sure to bring even more than before. Starting June 26th through June 28th at Lil's Albina Park, there will be a celebration of community with live music, kids space, lots of local foods, and a chance for health screening too. KBOO is also in the Good in the Hood parade, and we want our members and volunteers to participate. For more information, contact Ani Haynes at volunteer@kboo.org. Again, Good in the Hood, Friday, June 26th through Sunday, June 28th. And KBOO will be broadcasting live on Saturday, June 27th. See you in the hood.
I know it's a lot of bad out there, but guess what? It's a lot of good.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Voices from the Edge. Today we will talk about the breaking news, the Supreme Court will allow America's, President Obama's health care law to remain law. By a vote of 6-3, the justices have determined that the American Care Act, I'm sorry, the Affordable Care Act, will remain in place. I think it's kind of misnamed because I actually don't think it's affordable. But anyway, healthcare requirements for us, the people, will remain. Judge Scalia was the one that wrote the opinion. I'm sorry, it was Chief Justice Roberts who wrote the opinion for the majority. 6-3, the court's three most conservative members, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, all dissented, so they were the three no votes. No surprise there. And so the real question was about the exchange and whether or not, if you set up a state exchange, whether or not if you used a federal exchange versus a state exchange, you could still get the insurance. Because as the Supreme Court noted, the law was so poorly written that there were pieces of it that were left to interpretation. And so it is the law of the land. Yay. Call. Let me know what you think. Is that a good thing or bad thing? It's probably better than 6 million people losing health care. But give me a call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I also understand that the Confederate flag is starting to come down across the country. I know that it's come down. Four have come down recently in Mississippi. And there are a couple of other ones that are scheduled to come down soon. But the question for me is, and clearly the flag needs to come down, but is that enough? Just removing flags from buildings, is that really going to change the mindset? I certainly know the communities who are removing flags have the exact same criminal justice system that we discovered in Ferguson, that they have criminal justice systems built on the backs of poor, primarily black community members. And that's how they fund their government. They fund their government through fines and tickets and fees. And so, again, just taking down the flag, will that be sufficient to bring justice? So give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. The number to call, 503-231-8187. That's the number to call. There has been a lot going on. People are starting to get ready for the funeral in Charleston. I believe the first funeral is tomorrow. And the representative will be buried tomorrow, who died at that tragedy. And so I would love to know what is on your mind this morning. Give us a call here at KBOO. I'm looking forward to music festival season. I'm looking forward to the 100 plus degree weather. I think this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. As we start thinking about what comes next, it is interesting to know that we've been having, I'm going back to the flag, the Confederate flag, because I know we've been having that conversation for a while. And I got some communication saying there's actually a flag, there's actually two flags in the Pacific Northwest that I know about that are on display. One is in Oregon and one is in Washington. And I was just reading about it. I'm having one of those senior moments, and I have to figure out where I read this. But once I find it, I will post it on my Facebook page. Just recently, someone was telling me about that, and I thought, in Oregon? No, it can't be. But yes, it is true that we do have, we have this all over the country. So images of hate are not unusual, even though we in the Pacific Northwest like to tell ourselves that it is not so, that we're different, that that's just those folks down in the South. But no, we have it here as well. I know it was hard. I was so appreciative of the AMA Coalition who led a vigil the day after we heard about what happened in Charleston, because it just, I was so impressed that it came together so quickly, A, and so, and B, how many community members came out and participated, because I think people needed to be somewhere with other people who were feeling the same experience at the exact same time. And it's good to be in community when you feel like you don't know what to do, because just being in a space with other people who are feeling like you gives you power and lets you know that you're not by yourself and you're not just thinking about this in isolation, that you have a community surrounding you. And it was wonderful to see faith-based leaders, community-based leaders. It was wonderful to see people from throughout the community, all ethnicities, all ages, coming to participate in an event just to give voice, just to give feeling to what had taken place in Charleston. I think I think it's easy to think that somehow we are moving forward, that we're an accepting society, that, you know, everything is moving along just fine. These kind of events, like what happened in Charleston, lets us know that all is not right where we are. And I'm hopeful that we continue to have more conversations about what happened and not get into the mode of, oh, well, this is just an isolated case. This was just one young man who went off the rail. We have many other people, I believe, in our community who suffer from the same affliction. And if you don't think that's true, anytime there's a story in the Oregonian about race, just read the comment sections and read how ignorant people are about sharing their lack of knowledge about people of color. It amazes me sometimes to read the comments and realize that people, not only do they not know what they're talking about, they're so animate in their dislike and ignorant of the subject matter at hand that it makes you wonder, like, you know, where do these people interact? Do they interact with people that look different than them? What are we going to do to make sure that the next Dylan doesn't happen here in Portland? Because certainly we're not immune. Give me a call. Join the conversation. Give me a call at 503-231-8187. What's in your mind? So Obamacare stays. We are starting to have the funerals for the 9 people who were killed in South Carolina. And we're talking about the removal of the Confederate battle flag off of some buildings in Alabama and South Carolina. I am going to go to the phone line in just a sec and find out what is on your mind. Again, the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation is 503-231-8187. Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to Cable. Good morning.
Hello. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well this morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I've been listening to the radio, the station, like, for the past few mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Driving to work, hearing about this subject of the shooting and the racism in America. And I'm a biracial person myself.
Right.
And have dealt, and I grew up here in Oregon in a small town outside of Portland.
Right.
And I've dealt with, like, a lot of racial and, like, you know, racist attitudes and name calling and stuff like that. And I just wanted to call and just say that, like, I feel like the race thing and the race, you know, fighting is like a huge distraction from, like, just another reality that, like, exists that has, like, nothing to do with race or, like, negativity at all. It's, like, something, like, really beautiful that it's hard for me to describe it or whatever, but, like, the shooting, I feel like, I don't know, it just, like, is a huge negative smudge on, like, I don't, like, on freedom, like, that goes, like, way beyond race, and I don't know. I just have been listening to a lot of talk about it from on mainstream radio as mm-hmm. well as other sources like KBOO, and I want to say that my reaction is like to laugh. Is really just to like laugh at it, and even though it seems like such like a tragic thing that like that I should be feeling a certain feelings. That's, I guess, the issue with it for me, is this idea that, like, because a bunch of people, like, were killed in, like, you know, a nasty way, that I, as a minority, quote-unquote minority, should be feeling anger, or, like, should be feeling this, like, this empathy, which empathy is good, but it's, like, my empathy should be connected to something negative, or, like, my empathy should be this, like, pained empathy. And I just feel like that's like the trick of like what violence is as a form of mind control is all about, is like trying to like elicit a certain feeling out of like everybody who hears about the event. And like that's another part of the reality of it that it gets all twisted for me, is that like I wasn't there. Like the majority of us weren't there. Like, we didn't see this action go on. We weren't actually physically even in the same state. Yet, like, there's this perception that we're supposed to feel like essentially like bad, like about like our world, like bad about our society.
Well, hang on for a sec. So, I mean, I can think of many national tragedies that I have felt all kind of empathy for. I remember the elementary school shooting, anytime there's a shooting in schools. So are you saying that we just shouldn't feel any? I mean, you feel what you feel. If you don't feel anything, then that's you. But I think most people, most feeling people, most empathetic people, when you hear about a tragedy like this that didn't have to happen except for hate, people try to process that. So, I mean, and as a biracial person, you know, maybe you have conflicting feelings, like part of you are being told that you're bad because part of you are white and part of you are a person of color. I don't know what to say about you thinking that you don't feel anything or you shouldn't feel anything, or people are trying to manipulate you into feeling something. I mean, every time I hear about an unnecessary death, I feel it. And it doesn't have to be a black person. It doesn't have to be somebody I know. I just think how tragic, because I live in community, and I think community is important. So I don't know how to respond to you, because I don't think people are trying to make you feel bad. I think maybe because of your experience growing up, experiencing racism, you just don't want to deal with racism today. I don't know.
It's kind of like that, but it's the reactionary. It's the reactionaryism.
I think that most people are shocked, absolutely just mind-numbingly shocked when something like this happens. And then when you find out the only reason it happened was because this person wanted to go into a place of worship and just kill people. And he didn't just walk in and kill them. He sat and worshiped and talked the Bible with them for an hour.
But I guess this is where it gets tricky for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what his reasons are. Like, when you're saying, like, the only reason why this happened is because of hate.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's actually a lot deeper than that. And that, like, I don't know why this happened. Like, all talk around it, based in like an argumentative or I can't think of the word, but based in this kind of like antagonistic relationship with it.
But you have experienced racism, right? You grew up in a small town.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a major way. Like,
and
big time thing.
And so, and for no fault of your own other than being who you were in your community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, and when people treated you differently, I mean, didn't you have an emotional reaction?
Yes, I did.
Did you get angry?
I've been called the N-word. I've had the N-word said around me. I've been called the N-word to my face. I've had somebody, I don't even know who they were, in a huge, huge pickup truck trying to run me and my brothers off the road and then, like, trying to follow us, like, on the freeway. I've had a bunch of different crazy things happen. And when those things happened, yes, I remember being so angry. And I remember getting really into, like racial consciousness and civil rights. And I remember being very reactionary and very, like, I just remember feeling, like, a certain type of, like, so angry that, like, tears, like, pour down my face because, like, I'm, like, so angry and, like, grinding my teeth level and, like, my brain, the back of my brain, like, hurting, like, because it's, like, I'm so, like, pissed off that, like, I have to, like, be in this.
Right. And so let me ask this. Hang on. So let me ask. Yeah. And so so clearly you feel that emotion, right?
Definitely.
But you don't live every day in that emotional state, right?
No, I cannot.
Right?
I could not.
Because you couldn't, right? You would go absolutely bonkers, right? So you can't do that. And so what I think is that we are all processing what happened differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that I continue to tell people that in the United States of America, we've never honestly dealt with race. So that's why when these things happen, all of a sudden you've got middle-class white America shocked that these things are going on. You've got, people who've been advocating for changes, especially when they happen at the hands of the police or someone in authority, and they go, well, how is that possible, right? So all of a sudden, new people become aware of things that they don't have to see because most of the time it's kind of invisible to them, right?
So I
think both of us have to be empathetic for people for where they are, right? Because people are in different stages of processing and understanding why what happened, right? And we will never know, even after the trial is over, even if he's given 500 life sentences, we will never really know what was going through his mind. But there are some facts that we know. We know he specifically picked this place of worship to go to. We know that. That's a fact. We know that he was there for an hour before he started shooting because it was one survivor that told us that. So that's a fact. We know that based on his writing and his Facebook pages post that he wrote and spoke and about being very racist and anti-black. We know that as a fact. So with those facts, what do? Do we just say, well, everybody that looks like this kid, because this kid looks like he could have been anywhere, right? Anybody that looks like this kid we should be suspect of? No. What we start doing is actually talking to each other openly and honestly, dealing with the pain, dealing with the hurt, and accepting the fact that it's our fault that we have young people in our community that are filled with that hate. You don't get that at that young age without some help.
Yeah, I agree with you on that help part. And, like, you just named off, you know, some facts. And I guess this, for me personally, it comes to, like, a very healthy distrust of media in all forms. Because facts, like, do we know that for as a fact? Like,
yep.
And to base, like, my, I don't know, to base, like, like, the event itself, yes, tragic, but, like, the actual facts, and, like, I read a lot of stuff, and I read a lot, and I've read a lot on all sides, and eventually had to go to read, like, some esoteric information on, like, facts, like, it's not true, though. Like, none of those things are necessarily actually confirmable as facts, and this is where I always get to with these issues, where it's a huge crime that has been committed like this.
So, actually, the three things I told you are, in fact, fact. They are, in fact, verifiable, and that's really limited. But you know, I appreciate you calling. I hope this conversation has been helpful for you.
It has.
But you know, I got other callers that I have to move on. Thank you.
What?
I said I have other callers that are waiting, and we have had a wonderful chat, but I must move on. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, they got a little intense. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to K-Boo. Good morning.
Yeah, hello. I'm in a trivial mood, and your original call or the one before, I was told his name is Jonathan. Well, on my birth certificate, somebody made a mistake and put my name as Johan with an H, and it had to be correct instead of Joanne. The second thing is, yesterday somebody put on a bulletin, my privatized building, put on a bulletin board, everything's going to be all right, and a smiley symbol, and I was offended by it because I know that's not going to be for me. And the last thing, Joanne, dear, is I've been offended at seeing American flags for years, whether in front of people's houses and churches and that. And I guess it's because of them, their horrible, ugly wars going on. And thank you, dear. Goodbye.
Thank you. Appreciate your call today. Yes, I share some of those concerns, Joanne. And I want to thank my fabulous engineer, because as I was in that deep conversation, he actually went online and looked for the flag references that I had referred to. And so there is one in Washington State, and that one, let's see, actually there's one in Salem. let's see, is that outside of our state capital by chance?
Yes.
Oh, that is too much. Yeah, so there is a Confederate image I am trying to pull up now. My computer's... so I guess the question for the Salem legislature, should we take down the Mississippi flag that flies at the Oregon State Capitol? Ha, we have our own. So before we start, like, throwing stones, and then... There is also another one, which I believe is in Vancouver, and that one's coming up right now. But I'll go back to the phone line. If you want to join us, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, David. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, thank you. What's your first name?
Me? Joanne.
Yeah, Joanne. Hey, the racism thing is important, but I believe I'm one of those that the gun issue is really a big part of it, too. You know, like, it is that. And I don't know if you've heard this argument that if some of those people in there would have been, you know, because they're good people, legally had firearms, they could have not maybe prevented it, but made it less of a terrific incident.
Those people went to their faith-based institution to study their Bible. Why would they bring a gun with them? I mean, if you're not safe there, where would you possibly? I mean, if you didn't think you'd be safe there, where else would you possibly be safe?
No, I mean, there's people that are taking the argument that we have problems with guns, and the problem is we don't have enough of them. You know what I mean? Not enough of the good guys have guns.
We have way too... actually, my feeling is we've been at war for a generation, and clearly, if just people having guns were sufficient, no wars would be taking place.
And I agree with you.
So
yeah.
I think that's a cop-out, quite frankly, because I don't know anyone who would go to a Bible study even if they had a concealed permit and expect to be at a Bible study and need their gun. I don't even want to entertain that. And that, it's interesting because a lot of times, no matter what topic we're talking about around race, people will say, oh, well, no, it's not really about race. It's about right? And normally it's about class, it's about environment, it's about, you know, early childhood education. People will always try to divert from the real issue of race. We have a racial problem in the United States of America that we've never dealt with. And these kind of incidents, when they pop up, people get shocked. And so they want to blame the gun. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Well, I think that's a nice, cute little saying. But
right. I was going to say, yeah, that's like a tagline, right? But but it's true. It is absolutely true. That young man went to that church with the intent to kill whoever was at that Bible study.
Are you familiar with a radio program called Coast to Coast?
No.
Well, it's on at night. George Norrie is the host. Because talk radio, AM radio, has been taken over by the right wing pretty much.
Yes.
And there's reasons for that. With big money in the corporations, they've made the left, they've got the left out of talk radio. And he was the one that had this guest on that was for handguns and was saying, we need more guns. And I was surprised that the host was just going along with him.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I disagree with that, but I appreciate your call. And I do, you know, guns are certainly, we got way too much guns, way too much violence, period, in our society, right? So, but let's not be diverted from what this tragedy was about.
Well, I think the argument with this more guns, it would come down to more children, more domestic violence.
That's right.
More people have guns. Right. Maybe if somebody in a crowd starts shooting, once in a while that might happen. But the other damage that's going to happen is far more outweighs it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling. Have a good day. And by the way, retail giants Walmart, Amazon, and eBay are all pulling merchandise carrying a Confederate flag. And they are doing that in response to the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. Does that mean they're like, are they pulling it for what, the month? Are they pulling it for the year? Are they pulling it permanently? Those are questions that are not answered by the article. And so it will be interesting to see whether these retailers have figured out that they aren't going to actually make any money anymore off of selling the Confederate symbol. I think that's a good sign, especially at a place like Walmart. Okay, back to the phone line, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Catherine. Welcome to Cable.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, I said a prayer for all the black people in America that have been annihilated. And why I have called today is because in California, which is where I'm from, and I live in Salem right now because my son and I got stuck here because of the mental health system here. But that's not why I called. If you pinpoint where race started, you need to go back into that Bible. And it starts with Noah. Japheth, Shem, and Ham. If you read that, that's where race started. It also started with the holiness code from the Hammurabi, which is in Babylonia. And white people have been taught that forever. And that's where race started from. I was not raised a racist. Thank God for my father. And I was raised in San Francisco. And I think it's atrocious what America has done for the beautiful black people that have been around forever and taken them out of history, wrecked and destroyed their families, told them that they were not free men, and that all comes from the Babylonian holiness code. And everybody should be aware of those, because that's where race started.
Well, it actually started with the government deciding that they needed categories of people to kind of figure out where where people fit in the lineup. I mean, if you look at the census and how the census was developed, doesn't really have much to do with your blood. It has to do with how to categorize people. But I appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate your call. I appreciate your prayers, and I hope that you're having these conversations with your faith-based friends and family members, and that we're talking about how do we move this country forward.
Yes. What? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Boy, we've had quite an interesting mix of callers this morning talking about still grieving the shooting in Columbia, South Carolina, talking about our own Confederate flag flying activity here in Oregon and Washington. So the Pacific Northwest is certainly not immune to that activity. Good to see that giant retailers are finally deciding that there's not a financial incentive for them any longer to carry Confederate brand merchandise. But I'm sure that there will be an uproar somewhere. I'm sure someone will be saying we're infringing on their free rights to fly Confederate flags. But I think that's the country that we want to build is not a country that celebrates those kind of symbols. I think the country we want to build is one that represents all of us and reflects the best that we have as compared to the worst in us. Again, as I said to one of my previous callers, I do believe that we failed that young man who was the shooter, because you can't be that young and be that full of hate if we as a society hadn't done something to fail him. And I find it ironic that just like the young man that did the shooting on Alberta on last Thursday in Alberta, feel the exact same way about him. That wasn't a racially motivated crime. However, but at 15, if you are that, if you're full of that kind of hate that you somebody looks at you wrong, that you want to kill him, clearly, as a society, we've done something wrong. So again, you want to join the conversation, feel free to give me a call, 503-231-8187. I know for me, I'm very excited that we are in festival season. It is going to be nice to have something to take our minds off of the stress and strain of the last few weeks. I always look forward to Good in the Hood, as well as the the Blues Fest, the Waterfront Blues Fest, every 4th of July weekend. And so, but I also realized that some of the people I look forward to see every single year won't be there this year. But, you know, their children and their grandchildren will be there. And so it continues on. The number to call, 503-231-8187. Give me a call now. Tell me what is on your mind. Let's see. The legislative session appears to still be trailing along. I understand that there might possibly be one or two good bills that will come through the end of the session. But I've been, I have to say, a bit disappointed with the legislative session up until this point. I have been really amazed at how it appears that how watered down legislation gets nowadays in the legislative body before it has the blessing of both chambers. But that will be something I guess we will talk about as a legislative wrap up. But for now, let me tell you what's coming up this morning on the Boo. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 is Eric Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoint features the final segment of the 15-part special, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century. And we want to thank all KBOO members for supporting your community radio station. If you didn't get a chance to become a member during our drive, you can go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today and become a member that way. And that is what's coming up today. And again, I was like really surprised to see that Richfield, Washington has a, at Jefferson Davis Park, has a Confederate flag, a statue at Jefferson Park that's up that celebrates a person who was a Klan's leader way back when. And it's right. And there's actually some great pictures. There was an article recently. There's some really great pictures about it online. It was actually KATU did an interview about this Jefferson Park controversy. And it's just off of Interstate 5 in Ridgefield. And it's amazing to think that we thought the flags were pretty much just in the South. And the memorial, but is on private property. And so that's kind of been the stickler. And it had been moved to private property from a public location because of concerns. But the Confederate and Sons of Confederate Veterans, also known as the SCV, is the organization that's, protected it and then moved it to this existing location. And so maybe we should be calling Washington, if you're listening from Washington, calling your legislators and asking them if they, what do they know about this marker? And then if you're in Oregon, you should be calling Oregon saying, did we take down a Confederate flag that's in the Capitol? And then we could have a conversation about who takes it down first. The number to call, 503-231-8187. I think that will be an interesting conversation to have. One of the things that I'm a bit worried about as this legislative session comes to an end is what will be the result of some key legislation. Oh, and I was out of town, so I don't know if Kate Brown signed the House Bill 2175, which was the body cam bill. If that bill was signed, then I suspect, at least locally, that the police will be on their buy now to go out and purchase those body cams that they've been looking that they've been wanting to purchase at a cost of $880,000. And so House Bill 2571 is the bill. It passed both the House and Senate, and I did expect that Kate Brown was going to sign it, but be careful what you ask for, because those of us who those of you, I was never one of them, those of you who wanted body cam bills, wanted police officers to have those little cameras on, will be surprised at the bill that you got, because the bill you got doesn't provide any public accountability at all. It actually will make the bill own, I mean, the camera and the film all owned by the local police department. They will decide what becomes public. They will decide how that information is shared. They're even trying to be able to view the video before police will be able to, will have to write their report on an incident that took place. And so I think that's going to be a little frightening and something for us as the community to keep an eye on. Because it's actually sad when you go to your legislative body with a great idea about how to fix a problem in your community, and what the legislators come up with is just the opposite of what it was you asked them to fix. Instead, what they do is make it worse. I think then you have the wrong people in the legislative body. But the good news is there's always another election, and next year will be election season again. And these will be the people telling you what bills they passed and what they did to protect you. I would say, as this legislative session wraps up, watch very carefully what bills your legislators have supported and which ones they didn't. and then do your own research. Because I got to tell you, the difference between what the title says and what the bill says is significant. And unless you are accustomed to reading legislative language, you could be lulled into thinking that what is being passed is actually good legislation. And so I think maybe next week, maybe the week after, I think I will do my Dirty Dozen top pick of the worst bills this legislative session. And so we should have some fun with that. It is summertime. We're about to be in 100 plus degree weather. My kind of weather. I can't wait. I can't wait. It's finally here. The sun is out. And we've got festivals coming up. And so it's going to be a great, great weekend. And so anything else on your mind that you want to talk about in our last 10 minutes or so, this would be the perfect time to give me a call. Again, the number is 503-231-8187. Give me a call. Tell me what's on your mind, and I will see how I can respond to that. What are you going to do this weekend? Are you going to one of the festivals that are coming up? What do you do to chill out after the very stressful last couple of weeks that we've had, or that I had? Maybe you didn't have a stressful couple of weeks, but it's definitely been a very, very stressful time. And as we watch changes continue to happen in our community, for me, the big question continues to be, how do we build community? How do we build a sense of togetherness? How do we bring people back together after suffering national tragedies and local tragedies alike? How do we make that happen? Is that possible? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. That is the number to call. I see that one of the other things that are coming out of the city is a desire to shift development dollars for more affordable housing. I see that is on Commissioner Dan Saltzman's mind. I want a new definition of affordable before we start giving away more development dollars, because my understanding is that affordable, just like the Affordable Care Act, is in the eyes of the beholder. And so I think we will head to the phone line. Hello, James. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you.
What's on your mind?
I believe that these shootings, Sandy Hook and the one in just occurred in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
I believe they're false flag operations by the CIA. I believe they're designed to, it's psychological terrorism, it's state-funded terrorism, and they're designed to get people to give up their guns.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, I disagree, but I appreciate you sharing your perspective.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Bob. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just have 2 points, and that is guns don't make people. People make guns. And talking about arming the citizenry, what about crossfire? You know, if I got the good guy may not be trained. So we only have a bad guy shooting. We have a good guy shooting up, too. Anyway, that's my point.
Well, I certainly appreciate, yeah, I mean, if guns solved anything, we would never have wars again, right?
I mean,
that's really the bottom line. I think that that's a false argument.
I do, too. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. So I just received a note from my engineer that says Roof has received over $4 million from supporters already. That's troubling. That's very troubling, but not surprising. I think I said a little bit earlier, right? All you have to do is read the comment sections anytime there's an article about race in the Oregonian, and you find the level of ignorance that exists in our society. I'm going to go back to the phone line. in just a minute. My engineer is busy over there. $4 million. But we also know, just like the police officers that have been charged with shooting unarmed black men, they certainly get money online right away, very, very quickly. People are willing to step up and provide them resources. And back to the phone line. Hello, Robin. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi. Thanks so much. I feel like a lot of your callers are pretty crazy. a lot of people. So thanks for doing the show and discussing this. I've lived in Portland my entire life. I'm 25 years old right now. I've seen the Confederate flag flying in Portland my entire life. It's not just a Southern thing. It's a redneck thing. And when you're in Oregon, if you go like anywhere outside of Portland, like it's a lot more rural. There's a lot more white people. I live up in St. John's, and like I see people walking around with white supremacist t-shirts and Confederate flags. So it's all over the place. It's a problem. It's like blatantly racist symbol, and I don't know, since I was a little kid, that's been extremely apparent to me. So I'm very glad that this whole discussion of the Confederate flag is getting brought up again. Mm-hmm. I don't know, hopefully people will start picking up more when they see it in their own area, and especially in the Pacific Northwest, where there is a huge white supremacist presence and yes. history of white supremacy and neo-Nazis. So, yes. Yeah, they're actively organizing in the Northwest, too. So just to let everyone be aware of that, and thank you so much again for another wonderful discussion.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your call today. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Deanna. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello, Joanne. Thank you very much for this show. And I'd like to comment first to say I really admire how you field some of the questions, which frankly would have left me with my mouth hanging.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, one of the things I'm thinking about is I'm first absolutely stunned, and I don't understand how it is that Oregon has any Confederate flag anywhere. Maybe you'll respond to that afterwards, but I also wonder something else, and this has to do in some regard to a legal question, and that is, if people put Nazi swastikas, etc., on their private property, would this be tolerated under the law? Because to me, there is very little, if any, difference between doing that and having these statues and Confederate flags, which are the symbol of racism and race hatred and race violence. And the next thing that I wanted to say is that I think we really can overcome this. And unfortunately, it has always taken tragedies to mm-hmm. get people to talk
yes.
about what it is. And that's a terrible thing. And if any good thing has come out of this, as somebody said in South Carolina, and as you may have well said on the air when I wasn't listening, this has brought people of goodwill and good conscience together.
Yes.
To declare that this is absolutely not the kind of country and people that we are, that we want. I mean, I think it is the kind of people we are, but it's not who we want to be.
Yes.
And we have to change it by yes. breaking the silence.
Yes.
And now the silence, I mean, people have an excuse, if you want to call it, mm-hmm. or a motive for breaking the silence. I think yesterday or the other day, someone called in and said to you that he had actually gone up to a young woman who was wearing a Confederate belt buckle and challenged her and said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, it's pretty." And he said, "Well, it isn't pretty. It's a symbol of race hatred," and so forth and so on. And so I think that it's important that people in a very individual, personal, and small way,
yes,
as well as organized ways, we speak up to the people that we see.
Exactly right. And start with the people closest to you, right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
those are the people that you're going to have the most impact on. Thank you so much for your call. And I absolutely, you did miss that because I did say earlier that it is really about how do we build the community we want to have, the one we want to live in, and that respects all of us. Because otherwise, what we get is what we got.
Yes, and ministers and people in churches and so forth that I have heard, at least, have taken up this issue, and they must not let it drop.
Well, let's hope. We can hope. We can keep the pressure up, right?
We must.
On all our institutions. Thank you so much. Have a
Thank
good day.
You.
Bye now. Okay, back to the phone line. Hello, Barry. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello, Joanne. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I think we got it all backwards, and we're being very naive. People like you and other activists and advocates of equality, we look at this country, that the country stands for equality, and it's not true.
Mm.
This country is a white, constructed, white racist, white privileged country, and when the people of this country, in quotes, see a race problem, they're seeing it from their perspective. You and I, and black people and people of color, are the race, are the problem of their privilege and their origin. We are naive to think that we're all looking to solve the same problem until that really takes place, which it's not, and that's pretty much a paradigm problem. We've got a white racist country, and without problem, except for the blacks and the advocates who think it should be different. That's my take on where we are, and it's a pretty hopeless one.
Yes, I was just going to say, I didn't want to interpret your words that way, so I'm glad you did. So
it's hopeless in the sense that it can't be legislated, and it's got to be deconstructed from a paradigm point of view. And I think it's very a microcosm of this, of what we see in our world today. It's reshuffling into a different paradigm, and through that we might suffer a lot of violent consequences that rebirth requires. Anyway, I don't want to get too airy-fairy. I want to keep it simple. But I think we can't be naive that a lot of people, when we say it's a race problem, we're saying different than other people who say they have a race problem in private.
Well, I appreciate that. I absolutely know that we desperately have a race problem. I guess the question is, how do we get more people who aren't aware? I mean, we have, you know, the majority of our population has been pretty clueless up until this point that race plays such a significant role in our society. Had not been for all the killings of unarmed black men at the hands of the cops, we would not even be at the point we are now, which is actually having conversations about race and the differences in how race plays out in this country. So
I think you're right, and I think there will be more and more and more until it reaches some sort of tipping point, whether it's environment or race issues or poverty or religious aspects. It seems it has to go to a point where we just can't stand it anymore.
Right, right.
And it's sad, but that's what I'm looking at when I'm not blurred with wanting things to be pretty and sweet and loving.
Well, let
it
me
just isn't us human beings.
Let me tell you where my hope is. My hope
is, I could use some.
Yes, I want to give you some hope. My hope is with these fabulously, absolutely wonderful young people that we have coming behind us. They see injustice. They understand it. They're working for equality. They're fearless. They speak truth to power. They're young. They're energetic. I mean, I am absolutely, absolutely convinced that when us old geezers die off, this next generation will have it together. The question is,
I hope so, and I'm going to go with that. In a lot of ways, I believe you, and I see that's the truth, even though we can't understand it, really can't get it.
That's right. We say, no, they're a little aggressive, or they're a little like in your face. I'm loving it, right? They are going to make
their world. It's yes. not ours.
That's right. And that's right.
We got to have confidence
yes.
in that they're going to do as good
or
as
better.
Making this world better as we've tried to do.
Now, see, I hear you smiling. I hear you smiling. This was a good one. Thank you so much for your call. You get to be the last word. I'm Joanne Hardesty. This has been Voices from the Edge. Thank you to my fabulous engineer, Steve. He
Thank
keeps me honest.
Much.
Have a great day, sir. Thank you. Bye now.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right.
And good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. A minute before 9 o'clock, and in 1 hour, we'll hear Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, we've got Flashpoints, today featuring a report from the protest against the forced repatriation of Haitians from the Dominican Republic. Also, the concluding segment of the 15-part special, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century. At 11 on Between the Covers, Portland writer Polly Dugan talks about her new novel, The Sweetheart Deal, the story of what happens when a woman who thinks she's lost everything has the chance to love again. And at 11:30 on the film show, avant-garde filmmaker Robert McGinley talks about his films Shredder Orpheus and Eurydice. Local animation trailblazer Rose Bond talks about the PNCA Summer Intensive Program Boundary Crossing, and Josh Leek shares highlights of the upcoming Portland Film Festival. That's all coming up right after Teresa Mitchell hosting an hour-long press watch. It's news you're not supposed to know. Next on KBOO.